Hi, Magic.
Hello.
You want to go on your lap if you speak to him like
I
that.
I know. Hello, darling.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Kirby. Oh, he's there.
He's been there the whole time.
I'll see if it works then. I'm feeling my skin.
What?
About time.
Hey! About time, you can talk.
There he is.
Well, the stupid Skype decides...
Oh, it's Skype's fault, isn't it?
Well, don't most programs let you know when you sign on to them that it's time to update?
Yes, they do, Mary, yes.
Yes, I am sort of testing the thing, but I'm not testing the microphone because I use Skype call testing service and discovered that that microphone is not good, so...
I'm a bit surprised.
Yeah, you're a bit surprised. No, after using the microphone, that's perfectly all right. She gets her headset mic and thinks it's going to be good. It's really surprising.
I'm using the headset for listening to you guys, but I'm using my good microphone.
Hey,
well, I thought that might be the case.
Yeah. Kirby, just give up and go get a Mac.
Services, the Rossi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 298. I'm Adam and nothing in the world can stop me now! And here's Debbie Melrose.
You're not turning me into a fish.
Mary Lang.
Well, that's a fish of a different colour.
And Kirby Laitmert Sloan. No, sorry, Bartlett Sloan.
Blast, blast, blast!
That was nearly one of mine.
Right then. Yes.
Shut
I have a dog's trying to get in with it. Be quiet if you get a clip round the ear.
Dog excuse now.
Yeah, we've got because certain people couldn't be bothered to turn up on time today, I thought thinking it might be a good idea to update their Skyping at the time we're doing the podcast. We're going to have to get going with Underwater Menace. Episode 1. Now, episode 1 is
a reconstructed... only 5 minutes late. Good grief.
Only.
It's all right.
A reconstructed episode, which, although the reconstruction is okay, they could have actually done with what Loose Cannon do, and that is sort of write in descriptions.
Yeah, I watched the Loose Cannon version of reconstruction. And yeah, it really is helpful, because the first one that I found was this one, and there was nothing going on, nothing saying. And then I found one that was in French, and I can read French, but I thought I'm going to find the Loose Cannon one in English and do it that way.
Yeah, I used Loose Cannon as well.
Yeah,
I didn't. I thought I just watched DVDs, so I knew I was going to be using that on this particular escapade. Yes,
this story was a bit interesting because Polly spent the whole of the last story telling off the girl for whimpering and crying.
Yeah,
and
she went back
that's
to
pretty much
crying,
all she does in this episode.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
Well, she goes back and forth in this one from being
independent and
to
being a whimpering jelly. It's only when she's around Jamie, though, that she goes all wink and wibbly. Yeah. So, you know, it's...
Those Stephanie and Ben are in love, you can tell that.
Yeah.
So they arrive on a volcanic island.
Very cool.
What is?
I just like the effect. No, I just thought the way they did the pictures was great, and the fact that they were climbing out of a crater.
I also quite like that on the DVD, these screenshots, you can see the lines, the TV sort of lines going across the screen. So I quite like the
Master.
Oh, good grief. Yes.
Master.
Yes.
These particular squarish caves. We will see many years later in Destiny of the Daleks.
Uh-huh.
Well, there you go.
They're pretty cool, aren't they? I'm not surprised they use them a few times.
Yeah. So they only use them twice.
They venture into the cave.
They may again.
And they get split up. Polly gets caught, and turns out they've all been caught, because it looks as if they split up and the Doctor's gone off one way.
Yeah.
But it finds.
No, that's when they're in the. That's when they're all in the.
No, but they do get caught.
Polly gets caught, and
you think, oh, they're going to be
looking... The Doctor's going to be all right. Oh,
they're going to be looking for Polly, and it turns out that they're reunited extremely quick. I think that's one of the quickest split-up and reunitings in the history of Doctor Who.
And I find it interesting that they're in that elevator sort of thing going down, and they're all passing out because it's so deep under, and yet they manage later to climb out.
Yeah, they all just managed to.
Yeah, but that was a bit slower, wasn't it?
I think it's when it's slower that they can, just like with acclimatize. The bends, isn't it? Yeah.
With them. Mm-hmm.
Touch of the Submariners.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so they.
The food go down is lovely.
Which is they need to be able to go down for the plot.
Story, yeah.
Otherwise, certain elements of the story wouldn't work.
I do like them trying to work out what date it is. I did like that. Yeah. Yeah, with the bracelet.
I wonder if there's any colour photos of Underwater Menace.
I didn't have a look.
I wish. I don't know.
Oh, Kirby's going to have a look.
I can usually find some.
Can you?
So
we very quickly meet this sort of old-fashioned religious-y type.
Cult.
It's stuck in the past a little bit. The mixture of Aztec-iness and
underwaterness.
There is a certain element of the Aztecs about this.
Yeah. When she found the bracelet, I was like, oh god, if she's going to put it on, is she going to be mistaken for a god again? I really did think that.
But episode one basically is this star. Note makes me laugh.
Dr. W. Yes.
Shut up!
Sorry.
What was that?
Star. What have you got?
What's she going on about?
It's a very strange noise. Oh, by the way,
arguing with magic. Magic's obviously taken a particular. A particular position underneath the table.
Yes, he has. And she's objecting to it.
Oh. Yes, Kirby.
If Debbie is with you, when is she going to be practicing how to do recording?
I have today.
Okay.
We both have Macs.
And what did I say, Debbie, in regards to his worrying about...
That if he's really worried, he should record it at his end as well, just to make sure.
We'll see what's going to say out of that. Oh, it's got very cool. Funny,
I had another practice just now.
Yeah, but what about recording the podcast? anyway, so basically episode one is sort of leading up to the bit where they're going to get sacrificed.
You think they'd get fed up and just tilt the table?
I think the interesting thing about this sacrifice thing, it's not, it doesn't come back later in the episode. Mm. They just kill people.
Yeah.
We're going to kill him, kill him.
Yeah, they're going to
sacrifice them.
They decide to try and behead the Doctor and Ramo instead, rather than very slowly tilting them towards the shark.
Yeah.
And of course, we meet the completely bonkers.
Take all the dramatic tension.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on with your heels. Oh, get off.
Hang on with your heels.
I tell you, these are really cool.
The last shot of the episode where you see the fish person floating in the window.
I mean, look at that one. That's
rubbish. But the other one.
But it's not got the proper costume on.
No, some of them have, and some of them don't. Some of them have got half a costume, and some of them are fully fished. It did imply that after they've been under for a while, they sort of adapted even more.
Oh, because they're in metamorphosis.
Yes, yeah.
But what gets better, I love this, I don't know if that's a TV screen, or it's, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a TV
screen. It's a huge TV screen for the time. And it's really good.
That last shot of the properly made up one as well is quite spooky, because it's just there with its mouth open, floating.
And of course, they're going to change Polly into
a
fish.
That picture is creepy, because really Isla came in at that point, she went, it's like, go away.
And look,
it's too scary.
There's
for
the link to EastEnders.
Took it out.
Julius Smith.
Yes.
Yes, they did, didn't they? Yeah.
That's the link to EastEnders. That is.
Okay.
She created EastEnders.
Oh dear.
Let me know, dear. Do you hear that, Mary?
No. Who did?
Julia Smith. She directed this episode, and she is the creator of EastEnders.
I didn't know that.
Well, you do now. Shit, I should have said that from the beginning. Quiz. Sorry, I swore, but there you go.
It's only a little swear.
Is it?
Yes, she's very willing to help, isn't she?
Ara. I liked her. She's still alive. I'm going to watch a documentary with us on this DVD, but Deb got me to do something else, and I forgot that I need to continue watching that. It's the making of.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
No, I didn't realize there was an extra on the DVD.
No, I didn't know there was.
Well, look on it, and you'll see it. It's called The Making of Underwater Menace, and I watched about the first 5 minutes of it, and it's really, really interesting. Most of the actors... You know, we're still alive, so you got a phrase.
I was forced to go out and find Dailymotion. Dailymotion.
Anyway, as I was saying, there's nothing wrong with Dailymotion.
And I saw an interview with what's his name?
What's his name?
Fraser Hines?
Joseph First.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, basically they're going to turn Polly into a fish person.
You're not going to turn into a fish.
And that's the bit where they the direction went a bit skew-iff, because she's there going, and they kept her waiting. She's like, am I going to look scared now, or do I not? Do I just wait? Or do I make the noises that I'm scared? Or I'm getting a bit bored of doing the scared bit now. They didn't do that very well. Because one point, she obviously didn't realise the camera was on her, because look, here, she's sort of...
Yeah, she's just sort
she's
of...
She's making the noises, and then she's like, well, is the camera on me now? Oh, is it looking at my tunic?
Yeah.
I hope it's not one of those back to front ones where we're nude underneath, sort of thing.
But it's just one of those things with the jab. You'd expect him to have done that already. You know, he's still holding it over her arm.
Because everybody hates needles, so that's part of the scary
thing. You notice that in movies, it takes them forever to give an injection.
Yeah, whereas normally it's just... done, you know.
Well, if you've got diabetes, you just go, done. You just stab yourself with it and you're done. Oh, yeah, no, she knows the camera's on her there.
Yeah.
She's doing a lot of panting. She must have a very dry mouth. And I always wonder about these hospital tunic things. Why are they tied up at the back and...
You think it'd be easier to have them tied up at the front, but it would be a bit exposed.
What is the point of it having it so as you...
Well, it's just in case they need to roll you over or something, you know, because when I was in hospital, they said, oh, don't worry if you're a bit mussed when you wake up, because we've turned you over.
A bit what?
Mussed, M-U-S-S-E-D, mussed up, just a bit bedraggled and moved around, and it's like, yeah, no worries.
The doctor sort of mock befriends Zaroff just to find out exactly what he's doing and how he can interfere with it. I'm just rubbing my nose.
That's right.
Polly gets rescued at the last minute because the doctor manages to turn off the power.
Yeah, with his handy pliers. Yeah, he found some pliers.
It gets to the point when he realises a sonic screwdriver might be quite a useful piece of kit.
Yes.
Not on this episode, but...
Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming.
In a few weeks' time, yes.
Ira obviously isn't scared of Anne, though, because she just goes and hides Polly in the temple, whereas all the others are like, oh, don't, the sanctity of the temple, and Ira's like, yeah, I'll just bung you in here, don't worry.
Yeah.
It's an episode two, the returned episode, I think it is.
Yes, it is,
This is obviously one I've never seen, but I do love this little mock-up of the Atlantis thing with the flood water dropping.
And the different chambers, and
well done, that.
I was listening to a podcast from that had been recorded before the episode was recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And people were going, gee, I wonder what all this stuff looks like. I mean, what's this demonstration look like of the explosion? What's this drain that the doctor is talking about? Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah. I do like the way he's always fiddling with his fingers, the doctor. It was great. This is the
Matt Smith.
Yeah, this thing is like the first time I've seen him sort of in action, and it's amazing because you could see how the New Who have actually picked on his mannerisms a lot more than any of the others, because he's very modern. He's like a modern Who. More so than, say, John Pertwee is,
Well, he looks modern because his mannerisms have been copied.
Exactly. But it's great. So that childlike, about everything. And you are aware you're a bit bonkers, that sort of thing to Zaroff.
He keeps professing he doesn't know, whereas modern Who, they know everything.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just trying. There's no harm against trying,
I just like the fact that he's banging character. He doesn't alter the characterisation of the second Doctor.
No.
Although, thinking back to Hartnell, there was a time in which he was developing the character, and then he became that character.
Yeah.
And it was probably a few stories in before he became the Doctor that we... sort of recognises the first
Doctor. Yeah, he went from being cranky, nice, cranky, forgetful, nice. Yeah, it was just a bit weird. Because of the development, obviously. But being able to just jump straight into the second Doctor like this is great. There's no...
Yeah.
You can get on with the story more than anything.
Let me meet the man with... I don't know if he actually was Irish, but he didn't have the
Sean,
best...
Sean, yeah.
Didn't have the best Irish
accent
ever, did he?
Took the majors to reveal his name, because you knew it was going to be something like Sean. I actually wrote down Sean,
And to reveal the fact that he was Irish. And what nationality was this chap supposed to be?
Jacko. I think he was some sort of I don't know, Spanish, Mexican?
No, except the second doctor doesn't seem to care very much about his companions like the first one did.
The first one
seemed to, like, you know, always concern himself with them, and the second doctor seems to forget about them all the time.
I think he's more assured of them as characters. Them. Yeah, he comes across as, oh, don't worry, they'll be all right. They're clever, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't travel with idiots type thing, as implied, especially in the Highlanders.
I don't get that impression. I just get the impression he doesn't think about them.
Because he doesn't
comment on them at all.
True. I didn't consider that, but it's a really good point. But you can see why the Doctor and Jamie, although they become very close, have the odd clash from time to time after this. Well, you won't know that. You haven't seen
it. No, I won't. But I've heard. So, yeah.
Is that your Bruce Forsyth impression? It's his birthday today.
Is it? Oh, okay. Happy birthday, Bruce.
I don't know when they go away, so I'm, you know, kind of looking forward to finding out when and why they go away.
So they seem very settled, don't they?
Yeah, companions. They do. They do.
Well, I think Ben and Polly are always quite keen to get back to Earth 1966. So
they don't mention it so much here.
No, because they haven't arrived back in Earth 1966, have they?
4 years later.
But they do have a nice takeaway of fish food.
Fish food, yeah. They sort of underline the fact it can't stay fresh in a few hours. It's putrid. Yeah,
I like that. That
seems kind of crazy, because if they're that deep under the sea, it's pretty cold down there, and you'd think there would be no problem with keeping
some sort of refrigeration.
They've got electricity.
Yeah,
they
got nuclear fission. Why haven't they got a fridge?
Salted, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah, salt it. Yeah, they're in the sea.
So Ben and Jamie.
Jamie leans against the tunnel entrance when they're going up it. It's just casually leaning against it, like, okay, Jacko and Sean have gone up it.
Well, they join the workers, don't they? And these workers appear to be made from sort of shipwrecked people.
Yes, that's what they are, yeah.
They
don't follow. I would have just gone after them.
Which essentially these are the rebels that appear in a lot of these type of Doctor Who stories. And a lot of Doctor Who stories to come, to be fair. But they go into a TARDIS, I mean a cupboard, to change into suits.
Fisherman outfit,
The Doctor gets one of them. Jamie does look quite fetching in his wetsuit, doesn't he?
Jamie and Ben get their wetsuits, and Polly gets an outfit like Ara's.
Yeah. Now this chap who plays, what's his name?
Damon.
Candyman. Is that what you were doing?
Yes, I've never seen
something else. I didn't realise it was that.
Yeah, he's the creepy Candyman in the beginning of Willy Wonka.
Oh, I thought it was Candyman as in the Candyman, as in...
Candyman?
The Patrol.
No. Aha! No, he's in other bits, isn't he? What else did he do?
He's not the Candyman. The Candyman was in a late... Has been in Doctor Who.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. He's the creepy... The one with Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka.
He's getting confused by your irrelevance.
My irrelevance, okay.
Because if you notice the one
No, he is not the Candyman from... The Willy Wonka one.
He is. He's in the shop at the beginning singing.
No, he's not.
Ooh, Debbie's giving one of her hard stares. You just wish you could see it.
May I finish?
Yeah.
The guy who does play the Candyman in the shop in Willy Wonka has been in Doctor Who, but not in this story. He's in a Dalek story.
I'm sure it's him. And he's also in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Huh?
He's also at the restaurant at the end of the universe as the compere.
This guy is, are you talking about Damon?
No. Oh, yeah, Damon, yeah.
This guy is Colin Gibbons.
He looks just like him.
Anyway.
he plays Uriah Heep in BBC's David Copperfield.
Okay, never mind. Never mind. They didn't make this story because of they thought the sets would be a little bit too... expensive to produce. I didn't think they did too bad a job with the sets. What do you reckon?
The cupboard and things like that.
Over 2,000 pounds over budget.
The Doctor does a lot of earwigging. I like the fact
Ramo believes him.
Because he doesn't trust Sarah.
Kirby's gone quiet because he's gone to look at who was the Candyman.
Atlanteans are their eyebrows.
Yes, yeah.
What about eyebrows, sorry?
I said, I mean, they look normal in every other way, except that their eyebrows.
Yeah. Yes, the bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, they've got the Capaldi eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I knocked the microphone. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Master? Terrible.
Master?
Yes.
Master? Yes. The guy from... I'm getting echo. Why am I getting echo?
No, no, you've got a dodgy non-Macintosh system, perhaps.
You're not echoing this end.
No, we're here.
Aubrey Woods played the Candyman in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and he also was the evil baddie being controlled by the Daleks in Day of the Daleks.
Okay.
He played the controller.
Well, he looks just the same, that's all.
Right, anyway, they missed a trick, didn't they, Debbie?
Yes.
In episode 2, where Jamie's hanging over a cliff, but they didn't use it as a cliffhanger. but they didn't, know.
I really thought he was.
They also found a secret passage, didn't they, to the,
yeah,
to the temple.
Yeah, into the temple. All roads lead to the temple in this one, yeah.
Obviously the same designer that designed the Power of the Daleks thing, where there was that, you know, that sort of secret passage that led straight into the... That was 10th Planet, wasn't it?
That
led straight into the rocket thingamajig that you're going to remind me of, so I don't look silly.
Which rocket?
There was a secret passageway, conduit or something, that the designer...
From the base into
just
the rocket room.
Just happened to go straight to the
room.
Place
yeah,
they
yeah.
needed to go,
yeah. I designed this and I just happened to have made this bit lead to the bit where it's radioactive.
And then we meet Faust, who's a great fan of Zaroff and blindly follows him. Yeah, that's about it for episode 2.
Apart do with them what you will.
Yes. Then he does his pantomime villain bit, and I'll just close down the software. Could you tell me off for that, please?
Sorry. How dare
Sorry.
You? How dare you? I thought you were just going to blame me. You usually do.
No, it was my fault. That was Kirby's fault. where is it? I've lost it now. DVD. Oh, Deb.
I don't know. I can't see it.
It must be here.
Oh, trusting her to run the show, huh?
No, I can't. Where has it got? Oh, there it is. Why
there
can't you
is.
Show me a bit earlier? Right. I'm just going to load it up again. I have to wait now.
It's
joined it at the right spot. So, if I just skip to the end of that one.
They start calling the Doctor Little in episode 3. Little Doctor, Little Man. He's 5'9". He's not overly little.
If you look at my figures, though.
I believe at one point he mentions he's 5'9".
He's shorter than Pertwee.
And he's shorter than McCoy.
No, he's not sure. About the same height as Baker number 2.
And...
Yes, the Doctor at one point does mention he's 5'9".
Yes, because he's doing the description, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen this man? About 5 inches, black coat, baggy trousers, bow tie. Haven't seen him.
Yeah, so Zaroff turns all horrible.
Zaroff was already horrible.
Right? Yes, he was.
But he shows his horribleness.
I like the fact that the Doctor said at the end of episode 2 that, have you seen his eyes? To Faust.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen his eyes? He's mad. And then Faust sort of looks at him like,
Master?
Yeah, he is. Might be a bit bonkers.
Yes.
Master, I predict Debbie will win.
Yeah, well, Debbie...
Did that last week, didn't he, Kirby? What happened?
Yeah, you won.
I'm not sure.
It did go a bit bonkers, didn't it?
It was a fluke.
Anyway, they managed to get Polly back.
This is the Underwater Menace. It should be the fluke.
As I was saying, they managed to get Polly back and...
He's just going to swim right past that one.
Yeah.
That priest called? The leader of the priest?
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm sure you'll find out.
Yeah.
Zaroff manages to fool them into believing that the Doctor's lying, basically. So they carry on their little rebellion plan. The Doctor, there's a market scene.
Yeah.
The Doctor...
nice little tambourine. Yeah. Where'd he get that from? One of his pockets, probably.
Yeah. Has another chance to dress up. This dressing up thing didn't happen much more.
No, I was going to say.
The first few stories, obviously, he's quite enjoyed this poor sort of disguises that he's doing. Oh, look, he's wearing the 12 Doctor sunglasses there. I wonder if they're Sonic.
Sonic sunglasses, yeah. They're rather cool.
Yeah. Tell you what, though, Annika Wills was a blooming good-looking woman, wasn't she? Yes, she was.
So, yes.
And don't do that if you didn't say so business.
She complained in the extras about that costume she had to wear. that those were all shell ashtrays that they sewed onto a bodysuit. So they were pinching her all the time she was moving around.
I bet they would, yeah. Just
weighed a ton.
Hello, Star. What's the matter?
I've told her off.
Aww.
Right. So
how do you have extras with Daily Motion?
Because they're all on Daily Motion.
Yeah, they're all there. All the interviews, all the... Yeah. You know, the making of everything is on there.
Yeah, it's all there.
In different language.
And then...
Sean and Jacko are inciting the fishmen.
Yeah, not to bring food to the...
To rebel. And then there's that very long scene of them swimming
which
to
they
each
had
other.
Because obviously they paid for it, so they had to keep it in there. It's a really good scene, though.
Sorry, Mary.
I said, could you see all their wires? It was really...
Yeah, no.
What, the ones where when they were swimming around?
Imagine how it would have been if they hadn't got... If they just had to do a loose cannon reconstruction. More fish swimming.
Yeah.
more fish swimming.
Yeah, that was quite a long scene. I liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was quite clever. They obviously dropped a tank full of fish in front of this thing.
Yeah,
I do like the one that's obviously lying on something, but has got convenient seaweed in front of the fact they're lying
and
down.
That anchor that's sort of like caught in midair as well. We're looking. I still wasn't really affected. I can't see the wires that well. It's just you know they're on wires because the way they're
swinging fast, it's
hung
very
up
funny.
By her backside.
Oh, yeah, and then they kidnap Zaroff, and Zaroff fakes an illness. illness ploy.
Which you could see.
In spite of how guarded he is, they didn't have any trouble capturing. Yeah.
Please, I suddenly want to believe in your God, and now I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and then he just sort of shoots, kill them! He shoots Thaus, and then he just, kill them!
Bang, yeah.
Do it yourself. You just kill them in Thaus. You might as well do it yourself.
Yeah.
And he shoots him at point blank range.
And still misses.
Yeah, still misses. Yeah. Not quite dead.
Really? And he's going to be all right.
I think one of the characters did eventually die of their wounds, didn't they?
Ramo does, but not before he's warned the doctor that Zaroff has gone with Polly.
Jamie
conveniently rescues really quickly.
Yeah.
I do like Ben and the Doctor with the password scene. That's quite good. Oh, blimey, have you seen this, Burke?
Yeah, then it cuts on the old random
Oscar.
Wire with a pair of scissors.
Oscar.
I didn't spell the password either.
I should have used that as my quote. Oscar. And
about halfway through the episode, everything.
By the way, that's another fish pun, because there are fish called Oscars.
Oscar
pair. Anyway, yeah, so at some point, the inevitability of the...
flooding.
Well, yeah, it's like the doctor's managed.
Poor Jamie just takes his red. The radioactivity is really bad, doesn't it? Because it's too long to explain.
But no, the doctor's downgraded the disaster to just flooding the lower levels of Atlantis. So they basically all have to leg it, run for their lives, really. And Zaroff gets trapped within his laboratory by a rather dodgy looking. What they call that thing?
Bars,
yeah. Which apparently he seemed to get his head stuck in, but he could easily have got it out.
He could have got out, no.
I don't know how he got his head stuck in it, because it just drops down, but there you go.
And the doctor tells all his technicians that, no, you're all going to die. Yeah. What? They didn't realize.
And then he decided he can't, which was good, he said he can't let Zaroff drown.
No.
But then it works out that he can't.
Can't rescue him either. No.
And then the Australian Broadcasting Company removed the scene of him drowning. But you know, that's a frustrating thing. There are two surviving scenes: one from episode one, one from episode four, which they could have put into this reconstruction, but they didn't. They just put it.
Well, they did in the loose cannon.
Yeah, I know the loose cannon. They did in loose cannon. I know they did, Kirby. I'm just saying this. This one they could have done a bit better with.
Polly all sad because she's lost Ben and the doctor, and Jamie's just sat there going, oh, shut up, woman.
Yeah. You've got me. We can just sit on this rock for God knows how long. And then they all reunited very happily.
I do like Sean's comment. You know, it's a flaming English police box.
I know what you mean.
Yes.
Has he had any experience?
He probably has. Yeah.
And then the
they've been underwater in Atlantis all this time, and he knows what an English police box is.
Well, it's because he's a shipwreck victim, and it's sort of implied that they're one of the later later pair.
Or you might have just watched Doctor Who. You don't know, do you?
Well, their clothing, if you look at it.
And then the... Shut up!
Sorry.
The TARDIS is out of control. Geronimo!
Geronimo!
So, okay, right. Underwater Menace. I'm doing not too bad for time.
Yeah,
now.
Right.
I didn't really rush through that too much. Oh, I'm sorry to keep me up.
Sorry.
The Underwater Menace. It was okay. I quite enjoyed watching that missing episode. It was very melodramatic in a lot of ways. So was, though, Aztecs, which I'd say is a bit of a sister story to this, but not this wasn't done as well as Aztecs. Apparently, this writer... submitted another story which was so bad they didn't bother doing it. They nearly didn't bother broadcasting this one, like I said. And it seems that they would have a story submitted and they the next week film it, so that it was that short a notice in between submitting scripts and deciding where in the sort of proceedings those scripts would be added to the series. And it was very, you know, like they hadn't even decided two stories ahead.
Nowadays they take a
full year.
Pardon? Yeah, they take
a full year. Nowadays they take a full year.
Yeah, I know. But they hadn't decided two stories ahead which was coming up next or, you know, coming up. So they obviously didn't know that Ben and Polly may be leaving soon at this stage. But on the whole, it was... I just love Patrick Troughton, but and that's the thing for this story. It's just it's just having Patrick Troughton entertaining everybody, and I think any story with him in is going to be... it's not going to be terrible. But on the balance of things, I'd say this was probably the worst of the first three stories, but it's still not too bad. I didn't suffer it too bad. I thought it was quite... oh, there was lots of silly things in it that didn't quite work.
As usual, though, for Doctor Who,
yeah,
isn't it?
But
part of the
but
fun.
It was quite an entertaining story. I thought it was okay. What did you think, then, Kirby?
Oh, I thought this was a great deal of fun. I was just grinning during the whole thing. It was just fun. I can't say much more than that. It didn't bother me that it was over the top. I have known for years about nothing in the world can stop me now. People may have noticed that I posted a picture of the actor when he was in Diamonds of Forever, also doing a somewhat over-the-top mad scientist. He was in charge of the laser at the end. So...
He cornered the market for mad scientists in the
era. Yes.
Is that it? Oh, sorry.
That was pretty much it. I mean, I'm not sure what else.
What do you think then, Debbie?
Me?
Is someone sending a message?
Yeah.
Robert Haynes.
Oh.
This is Mission Control to Kirby. Do you read me?
Let's see if he's online. Get out of it! Stop pestering me, you stupid.
If Robert,
get off.
Ought to join us.
Sorry.
Well, I've just said, your pointed ears, are you?
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I actually laughed out loud several times because it was so fun.
Right.
I mean, that's all you can really say about this story. It was fun. It was lovely to see him in action at last properly. And the loose cannon reconstructions were brilliant. But it, as you say, it's not the strongest episode of the three so far, but it was fun. I think that just...
it was fun.
Yeah, sums it up. Fun. Liked it. There you go.
Go on then, Mary. This will be interesting.
Oh, this story was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
it reminded me of the really bad 1950s B-movies. You know, everything over the top. I kept expecting the trio from Mystery Science Theater to come in and sit down in front of me and start doing their shtick. There were so many things to make fun of in this. Oh, and so many lines to laugh at. In the interview with Annika Wills, she says that the cast and crew got in on the fun at the end when Zaroff is saying, "Nothing will stop me now." They kept having him redo that line and telling him to do it more just so that they could all have a laugh. Only he didn't know that. He thought that they were just trying to get the take right.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, do it again. but, oh my gosh, yeah. It was such a stupid episode. And you say, yeah, it was fun. But I mean, everything that they would plot to do, they would do immediately. You know, everything succeeded.
I've got a plan. Oh, it's worked.
Yeah, I've got a plan. You know, and 2 seconds later, they're doing it and it succeeds.
The kidnapping Zarov scene is particularly funny.
Yeah, kidnapping Zarov, I mean, as heavily guarded as he was, I mean, they had no problem capturing him and believing him when he gets sick. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I just kept sitting there saying, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that it's fun in a 50s B-movie kind of way. why this would run 2,000 pounds over budget, you know, which shocked everybody. I don't know. Maybe it was that special little thing that you were talking about earlier, the plot. You know, what am I saying? Where he shows what's going to happen when he drains the water. You know, that alone looks like it probably cost a lot of money to build.
It's Robert making noise.
Robert has arrived, everyone. In a very sort of not inconspicuous way. Hello, Robert.
Pardon? Hello. Are you talking about underwater menace?
Yes.
What made you think that?
Fancy that.
No, fuck.
I watched the DVD.
So, what did you think of it?
It was a lot better when you've got commentary on.
I suppose it would be quite good if you could watch it with the commentary, especially the missing episodes.
Yeah, but I mean the good thing was, you know, on those missing episodes, they did the on the last disc, they did interviews of last episode, they did interviews with people who are no longer here, and they had a little snippet with Patrick Troughton at the end, and that's quite a good.
Yeah, listen. That's what I was just talking about that.
Yeah, I think one thing that I enjoyed about it was a chance to see how Patrick Troughton was settling into the role. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's something that you can't get over on audio.
Yeah, it was wonderful to see him at last.
And yeah. And also, I think Jamie in his Highlander original outfit, wasn't it?
For most of the episode, or most Jocelyn's, of it, he was in that deep sea suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's got very handily got his sash to hide the compass.
Compass?
Yeah, the bit when Sean has got the compass and they have to hide it from the guard.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. So are you finished washing up then, Robert?
No, that's Jocelyn.
Oh, sorry.
Just got out of the shower, so.
It's a very petulant washing. Is she doing it like that because you should be helping her?
So what did you get?
What do you
think? Did you enjoy it?
Well,
I thought it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I quite enjoyed it.
Mary thought it was ridiculous, but fun.
Oh, really?
sort of. More ridiculous.
In a nutshell, stupid, but fun.
And Kirby decided to update his Skype in the middle of the episode.
Not in the middle.
Ah.
Skype decides to update. When
so we don't
Skype
know what Kirby
to update.
Oh, Kirby loved it.
Yes.
That's it. What was that for? Stop touching my dinger.
You loved it?
Touching your dinger?
Yeah, playing with his dinger.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Now.
Your wife's not listening to this.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have feedback.
So I pretty much agree with you guys.
Back, pardon? You agree with us? Good. Therefore, let's see what the others think. This is Nandy Unni.
It's Nandy Unni here. It's 4:47 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. I'm sitting here with a nice cup of tea. Kirby said that we want feedback, not directly related to story. So, it was a good win on Friday night. I'm sure Debbie would agree as well.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what Kirby thought. Bosker, obviously, after the mishaps against Northampton, he totally sliced the kick and Andy Goode fielded it. And he actually managed to put it into touch to win so he won the game. So, Kirby, what did you think of that? Anyway, the Underwater Menace. Now, it's a difficult one to watch again because it's partly recons. But I must admit, when it came to Wednesday 2 and I started it, I was certainly surprised. It's like something, of course. I'm just so used recently to watching recons of the Doctor Who stories with Pat Troughton because this is I suppose the first mm. episode where he actually does exist, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, it's an interesting one because it's based under siege, but a different kind of siege, because the siege is actually coming from inside, because you've got the most ludicrously overplayed, not just chewing the scenery. I mean, you had a four-course meal and a doggy bag out, if you didn't see the Jersey first. But it was a good performance. It's quite fun. He really reminds me of an American actor, and I cannot think who it is. But just the way he looked about it and the way he was able to go over the top, he must have had tremendous fun doing that. Some of the others, yeah, you've got the leader of the Atlantans. Of course, not the last time we'll see Atlantis. So how do they all fit together? A bit stereotypical. You've got the priest. Yeah, he was a good old, he'd be a fun, wasn't he? Of course, you know, yes, we all prayed, and he disappeared. It was a miracle. Yeah, now I'm a churchgoer. I think I would have eaten.
Close your eyes.
A minute. It doesn't quite ring true, but there you go. It was interesting the way they split the companions up. So I think it does show that having three companions, they get in the way of each other. And this happened with Davison when he had Tegan and he had Nyssa and they had Adric as well.
Yes.
Mm. You can't get three in, really, because there's only so many times they can say, oh, what do we do now, Doctor? So, they were going to shove them off.
Well, Jamie wasn't supposed
Jamie
to be in this.
Showed how quickly he was becoming true, part of the crew, and how he and Ben were definitely hitting us off well. You can see them going down the pub on a Friday night, Saturday night, having a few beers and going for a curry afterwards. I'm not quite sure what they've done with Polly. And each as well, yeah, Polly, all the languages she spoke, so she's a polyglot, isn't she? I'm sure Kirby's probably beat me to that. I'm not really sure why Dad wanted to destroy the Earth. You know, I think that's the only thing that...
It's the ultimate thing a mad scientist can do, apparently.
So perhaps that's, in a way, he was a bit of a stereotype. But... again, you had the obligatory rush off before they come after us to the build type of finish, don't they? Or the other two of them was police blocks. Police blocks?
Police blocks.
And then, nice of course, off they went. Fish people. Yeah, fish people throwing rocks at the ice. That was quite comical. I mean, okay, these were people who had their gills fitted, but they seemed to battle the brains at the same time. Not quite sure that was really the effect. And, yes, I wonder what the labour relations people made of the fish people going on strike. You know, it's I work in supply chain management, and I think anyone who comes to a supply chain where food lasts a few hours, yeah, I think you need to go and have a good think about that one. But overall, you know, it's an enjoyable story. You're bedding in the new companion. You're getting a good rapport with a virtually brand new doctor. It'd be interesting to see if it ever did come back. I'd like to see episodes 1 and 4. I think it might have done more of them. They're a bit limited in terms of the number of shots they have got. You can see they were using the same one several times. But, yeah. And Kirby, Wasps Away next Sunday. What do you reckon?
We'll smash him.
Yeah, really relevant. Thanks, Andy.
It'll be interesting to actually hear whatever it was he said. As I'm just sitting here, all I could hear was mumble.
It's just because that's what he was doing.
We were a little bit at the beginning.
He did start off like he pressed the fast forward button a little bit. So we can't do much about that.
No,
sorry about
it
that,
wasn't, it wasn't his accent this time. It was just the quality.
The speed?
Yeah. All I heard too was mumble.
He was mumbling. Was he not, Demi?
He was a little to say, yes.
Do I have to moan about my attempts to project these little bits of audio to them, don't they? I try my best.
Well, you were teaching me how to do it earlier.
Beg your pardon? They are talking about podcasting, everybody. Sorry.
I'm getting ready to record.
You're trying to get me into trouble, aren't you?
The ConGT podcast from my abode. I mean, so I'm being taught how to do it.
Yeah, well, again, trying to get me into trouble.
No, you're not.
Yes,
you are.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Tony McMahon podcast.
Oh, Ian, you were
better
in there.
Again.
Come back.
Hello, Tony McMahon podcast. Here I am again.
Yay!
And there you are.
Sort of.
It's a bit timey-wimey. I have to go to the dentist at 8 a.m. Monday.
Oh, dear.
9 hours in my future, a couple of hours in your past, and a few days ago for the listeners. I hope it did go well. I had a cold, and afterwards I've been feeling tired. In the Water Menace by Geoffrey Orme. In this story, Polly is captured. They want to turn her into a fish creature. She was luckier than Perry, who was captured and turned into a bird creature. They got caisson disease wrong. It strikes people coming out of a high air pressure, not going in. It disposed by nitrogen dissolving in the blood, then being released. The writer misunderstood the phenomenon. We have time travel and enchantment under the sea. Long before Michael J. Fox got mixed up in such things. The fish people might be the prototype for all the mistreated miners the show had in later years. They're right about how quickly plankton rots. I seem to remember the demented villain's base getting destroyed was a staple of James Bond. Matthew Cressel would know. Bye for now.
Thank you! Ian's back, everyone!
Yay!
The only reason I was able to understand him this time was
did you listen?
Well, we have a transcript.
Yes, I can read along. Yes, so I can tell.
All right, I'm just writing some names.
I have a suggestion. Have we got any more audio feedback?
No. Oh. Anybody send anything through on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join? Oh, everybody's gone very quiet, so I presume not.
Now, we did have Robert Lansdowne, or as he's currently calling himself, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
Those two BBC recons are among the worst I've ever seen. The unofficial ones are much better.
Yes.
I haven't seen the unofficial ones yet.
Right.
Is that it? Yeah, that's about it.
That's all I see. Yeah.
Yeah. There isn't anything else.
Okay. This is going to be fun.
Maybe people didn't like it very much.
Oh, well, some people are fussier than others.
Well, it's a reconstruction, so I think people don't have patience for it.
If you want to send feedback into the show.
It would have been a lot more difficult to watch if all of them had been reconstruction. Definitely, because it flowed along nicely with the middle two stories.
Reconstruction.
Loose Cannon was very good.
I'll see if I can do it this time. If you want to send feedback into the show, 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, or join our Facebook page. And
so could you repeat that?
Well, the Facebook page, that's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. I know they're not going to bother. I don't know why I bother wasting my breath.
Joined up this week.
Yeah, they joined. They didn't send any feedback in, did they? Anyway, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Hang up quick, Robert.
Yeah, quick. Where's the button?
Will you stop fiddling with my bell? Right, so I don't think this is going to last this long today. Oh, hang on. I don't want to install the blooming update. See what you do, Kirby? When it says, do you want to install the update, you go, later. Remind me later. Not
do it when I'm
now.
Asleep, please.
Not in the middle of a podcast. Right then. Time to pick who you think's going to win. Debbie, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, me.
Adam.
All right, Kirby, who do you think's going to win?
Debbie.
All right, then. Mary, who do you think's going to win?
Oh, Debbie, of course.
Robert, who do you think's going to win?
Yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion.
Oh, dear. And I'm going to go with Kirby, because I like to be different, but I don't get a joker. All right. Everybody understand how the joker system works? By the time we do understand, I'll just abolish it.
Robert, if you're really sure of an answer, play your joker and you get double points. You only get one, though.
You get to hear the question first, so it's quite a good deal.
But if you don't get it right, Adam gets those points.
I do. Right, first question goes to Debbie. Stop flapping your ears.
Sorry.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Sorry.
What
Sorry.
Year, shush. What year was it to Jamie?
1746.
No joker, but what a surprise, everybody. Right, Kirby. Yes. How old was the Rock?
Who's
Question. You, you're Kirby, aren't you?
Dwayne Johnson. Kirby. Is that Johnson?
I know.
So, Kirby,
his question.
Yours, yeah. Kirby.
Listeners will find this quite amusing. You say quite clearly, Kirby, your question. Then he says, whose question is it? You go, Kirby.
No,
and then it says, whose question? Kirby.
Okay, my question?
Yes, it's your question.
25 million years old, but you ought to...
You wait till you listen to the show. If you actually bother listening back to the show, you wait till you listen back
to
the show.
Do I have to get it right?
What do you mean you have to get it right? That's the idea of the quiz. It'd be a very strange quiz. You have to answer the wrong answer.
If you play your joker, you have to get it right to get your points.
Yes, Kirby.
It would have been nice if I had been able to hear that was my question, because I could have gotten the joker with that
one. Well, the trouble is, Kirby, the problem is you talk over me when I'm asking you, and you should listen instead of talking over. Isn't that right, Debbie?
You simply said a question out of nowhere.
No, I didn't. I said...
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Oh, stop it, you lot. All Americans are ganging up on me, Debbie.
You're going to start deducting points like last week.
Because they didn't like that post I've got on the Facebook group with Michael McIntyre talking about
American versus English, yes.
Not being able to say anything. Oh, you're right then. Mary?
Yes.
Right. what did Ben go to fetch after Polly screamed?
I don't know.
Oh, ooh. I think I know.
Excellent point for me.
Of course you know.
Here, go on in, Debbie.
Is it a torch?
Right then, Robert.
Oh! Yes, sir. Yes.
What defeat did the doctor mention as they travelled in the lift? Disease, sorry, not defeat. What does it say, defeat? What disease did the doctor mention as they travelled in the lift?
I know.
Was it a fungal infection?
No, it wasn't a fungal infection. Yes, Kirby.
Caisson's disease.
Yeah, which is totally wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What ancient African tribe did the doctor mention?
African.
I know.
Troglodytes.
Trying to make out you didn't know.
Yeah, you were...
Right, everybody. Now, everybody go quiet just for a second. Kirby!
Ow.
This is your question!
Ow.
Right.
Master?
Yes?
Master?
Yes? Polly found a memento of what Olympics?
Mexico City.
Oh, damn it. Dingo went funny. There we go.
What date was that, though?
Yeah.
It was 1968.
Don't get any bonus points for that, but that is the correct answer. Right, Mary.
Yes?
What food did the doctor say he enjoyed?
I mean, whatever they served him, which was the plankton.
We've not played our jokers yet, have we?
We're forgetting about the joker.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
What was the living goddess's name?
Bloody hell.
No.
I know. No, I've got no idea.
Oh, good. Another point for me. Go on then, Kirby.
Amdo.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, sports score update time. In last place, with no points and no jokers used, it's Robert. In fourth place, with 2 points and no jokers used, it's Mary. In third place, with 3 points, me. In second place with 5 points, Debbie, who's trying to lose, but she won't be able to keep that up. And then the lead with 6 points, it's Kirby. No jokers used as we move into the next round of questions. Yes.
What? I will say in my defence that I watched half of the episodes before I went on holiday last year.
Yes.
And half of the episodes when I came back last month. So.
Okay, and you can find that excuse in Rhys Barton's latest edition of the Book of Excuses. Published.
Has Kirby got one of those as well?
Okay. Yeah, I've got quite a big volume of that, yes. Yeah.
Volume one is big enough. Yeah. Okay, right then, Debbie.
Yes.
Who took the doctor's message to Zaroff?
Aura. Ah, damn it, should have played my joker.
Kirby.
Master.
How did the doctor sign himself?
Joker.
Oh, go on then.
Dr. W.
All right, and the joke has gone back and crossed that out. Right, Mary.
Hanging in there.
Where did Zaroff order Polly, Ben and Jamie to be taken?
Oh, I know.
Don't remember.
Go on in, Debbie.
To the Labour controllers.
Pasta?
Spot on, yes, Kirby.
Someone needs to write a song. Polly, Ben and yeah, the
pardon?
Land of the Lost. Tune, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, don't worry, Mary.
Any sense.
Yeah, they really need to write that song.
On a routine expedition.
Right. Have you had a cup of coffee this morning?
He's on the diet.
I'm well, don't worry.
Yeah. I've completely lost the expression that was originally for. Oh, the phone's ringing.
Who's that?
Where is that? Is that a landline?
Of course it's a landline.
Yes, it is.
It's one of those trill phone thingies. Right.
Is that a landline?
Whose question is this? I've lost where I am now.
It was Mary's question, wasn't it?
Okay, right there. So this is Robert's question. I bet he's on the phone now, aren't you, Robert?
No.
Oh, you know, okay, right. Yeah. This is your question, Robert. The question is... Shut up, dogs. The question is this...
Shut up, dogs. I don't know the answer.
What was Damon's nationality? I'll say that again. What was Damon's nationality? What about me? Shut up.
Was he I'm trying to think of can I take a guess and just say he wasn't Scottish, was he? No.
It was the longest sort of guessing the wrong answer we've had for quite a long time. Anybody else?
I think.
Was he Atlantean?
He was!
Yes! Yeah. That was a trick question.
That's a trick question, isn't it?
Yes, it was a trick question.
It was a trick question. It was mentioned in the script.
Saying the name of the Irishman.
Yeah, right, anyway, I'm thinking one of those guys.
Debbie, yes. I don't do trick questions very often. Yes, Debbie.
Yes, you do.
Who upset Jamie by calling him Jock?
Jacko.
I know. Oh, of course she knew.
Kirby.
Master.
Oh, it's the clock.
Where was the Chief of State to be found?
In the council chamber.
Mary.
Mm-hmm.
What road did Jamie and Jacko take?
yes.
You know that one, Robert?
I don't remember.
Oh, good. That's a point to me. Did
can
Robert
I take a guess?
Robert, you can go for that one.
The low road?
Oh no.
It was the high road.
Yeah.
Oh, whose question was that for?
Who was that? I don't know.
Who had that original question?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Was it Mary?
No, it was Kirby.
Was it yours, Kirby?
No, it was
Mary's. Okay.
All right, so this is Robert's question.
Because I would have gotten it correct, because I knew it.
Okay, yes, never mind then. Robert.
Yes, sir.
Who did Rambo say was old and superstitious?
Rambo?
Rambo. Who did Rambo say was old and superstitious?
Was that about the doctor? I don't know.
I know.
It wasn't. Kirby. Go on in, Kirby.
Lolum.
Yay!
Lola?
Rambo and Lola, yeah.
Okay, score update then. In last place, with no points, no joker used, is Robert.
That could be.
In fourth place, with no joker used, is Mary. Don't get any points for that. In third place, with 8 points, it's me. In second place, with 11 points, no joker used, is Debbie. And in the lead, with 13 points, and his joker used, is Kirby. This is Debbie's question.
Okay.
And it is this. Who did Ben pretend to be?
Ooh.
Did he pretend to be Amdo?
Got there in the end.
Oh, I should have played my song.
Kirby.
Master.
Which character was Irish?
Oh, isn't
Come on! Oh, Sean! His name is Sean.
That was a long time, didn't it?
You got it right.
Mary.
Yes.
What was the name of the market woman who hid Polly and Ara? Won't get this one.
Oh, no, I won't get that one. I don't remember.
Me neither.
Hey! Anybody else?
Mary sounds very tired.
Oh, we only just got up.
Nola.
Pardon? Oh, bloody hell, Kirby.
Nola.
Kirby got it right.
Yeah, Kirby's going to win. Look at that.
He has played a joke and nobody else has. Robert.
Was that right?
Yes.
Yes, you were. Didn't you hear the ding?
No,
oh,
I didn't hear
anything. Oh, sorry. Don't play it again.
I'm going to play it again.
You keep knocking it off, Mr. Happy. right. Robert.
I'm so rude.
Yes, sir.
Don't put any holes in my carpets, by the way.
What happened, shush, what happened just prior to Zaroff start stating that nothing in the world could stop him now?
What happened?
Yes.
Isn't the doctor chatting with him or something?
Yeah, a bit of a chat. Go on then, Debbie.
Doesn't he shoot Thaus and his guards shoot the other two guards?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember something that happened.
Okay, right then. Debbie.
Yes.
Sort of lost around there. All right. What was the doctor's plan? Oh, it's gone very quiet.
Ooh, he had loads of plans.
Specific.
Yeah, which one?
Him and Ben were going to go to the generating station. Generation game.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Anybody?
Yes.
The doctor's specific
plan. I don't
remember.
He had lots of plans.
Yeah, there was one plan that had a very, very key effect on the storyline.
Was that the fish people one, where he gets the fish people to go on strike?
Was he going to cut the power?
I'll get 2 points. It's good. No, the answer I'm looking for is flood the lower levels of Atlantis. That was the key plan, was it not, Debbie?
Yes. I've got it written down.
Thank you for admitting it.
Yes, it's written down.
And at this point, I've completely forgotten who that question was originally
that
for.
That was for me, wasn't it?
Oh, Kirby.
Master.
Which stabilizer sections called in to the laboratory? There are two stabilizer sections called in. Which
Z2 or Z2?
Yeah, that's not two of them, though, is it? You get a point for that. Yeah, go on.
What?
It was two of them. Two? Which?
I only know one. Sorry,
you don't know the other one, right? Okay, then. So you get a 1 point for saying Z2. Anybody want to come up with the next one?
How about Z3?
Hooray!
Yay!
That was a guess, wasn't it, Mary?
Well, no, I kind of remember that.
Right then, Mary. What did Ben think made the doctor look conspicuous?
Oh, his trousers.
Yeah.
Bruises.
Robert.
Yeah.
What was the password?
I know.
The password was
the password. Okay. Is that your answer?
No idea whatsoever.
Good.
Fill in the blank. Ella Renta.
Right, anybody? Oh, Kirby said he knew.
Yeah, Kirby said.
Oscar.
Okay. Score update then?
Oscar the Grouch.
Score update. In last place with no points, no joker used, etc., etc., is Robert. In fourth place with 5 points, no joker used, Mary. In third place with 13 points, me. In second place with no joker used, 14 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 18 points and a joker used, it's Kirby. Whoa. Next question goes to Debbie.
Why is Debbie? Debbie hasn't used the joker?
No, I keep forgetting.
Well, use it this time.
I'll try. If I know
running
if I'm
out of
sure
goes,
the
so
answer.
It's just quite interesting that where these points might end up.
You know the answer, though.
No joking. Those jokers don't get used. Get added to my points. So I'm
no,
quite enjoying this.
What?
I've decided.
She always knows.
Makes it up as it goes along.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Debbie. What did Ben use to cut the wires?
My goodness.
I don't know, it looked like pliers.
Excellent. Anybody?
No.
Anybody else?
You mean, let's take a guess then. Can I just guess?
Go on then, Robert. Robert?
Fish scales?
Wasn't a very good guess, really, was it?
Yeah, I've just written Ben cuts cables.
The answer is a large pair of scissors.
Really?
Yes. Oh. Very conspicuously large. You wouldn't cut a set of wires. Like, you wouldn't cut a set of wires with a pair of scissors, but yet they used a grub. That's what stuck in my mind. Kirby!
Master?
How did...
Oh, my goodness. Kirby!
Sorry.
Right. Kirby!
Master?
How did Jamie imagine Zaroff's power source? He did
very poetic.
Well, I have it, because I don't know.
What? You don't know it? Is that a...
No.
You don't know, right? Good luck for me then. Who said I know? Is that you, Debbie?
Yes, I'm just trying to work. Yeah, there we are. It's like the beating of the devil's heart.
Wow.
Correct answer.
That was lovely. I was like, ooh.
Right. Mary.
Kelly was like, ooh, yeah, it is.
Mary, this is your question.
Okay.
What invisible thing did Jamie see in the power... in the lower levels. What invisible thing did Jamie see in the lower levels? You won't get this one. Just, I'm genius
at
writing. Genius at writing questions like this.
Pass it on.
Good. Starting to catch up now.
That must be a...
Right, anybody?
What are those Scottish... It was Set the Piper.
It was the radiation leak, wasn't it?
I do like Robert being on the show, because I'm picking up points left, right and centre.
Was it the radiation leak?
No, it wasn't.
No, okay.
It was the draft.
Oh, yeah.
He could see a draft.
Oh, with the candle.
Yeah. Who wrote that thing?
Well, that makes sense, because Jeffrey
he was you could see it. How can you see a draft? I could see a draft. Anyway, who's
Christian? No, the flame flickered.
Never mind.
That he was holding.
Doesn't matter. It was in my script.
You see the effect of the draft.
That's what he should have said. But he said he could see the draft. Anyway, right then, who was that for?
I can't remember.
Jeffrey Orme.
Who was it for?
Who was that?
That was Roberts.
Oh, good. Right. So, therefore, Debbie.
Yes.
What did the doctor suggest the distant roaring might be?
Oh, a joker.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Amdo with a case of indigestion. I love that. I laughed at that one.
This is why I like this story. It had lots of lines like that.
Kirby.
Master.
Where did the needle on the dial have to be when Zaroff pushed the plunger?
I know.
Danger.
I don't know.
Good. You said you know, Debbie.
Yeah, over 1,000.
Why over 1,000, though? Yeah.
Because then he will push the plunger.
You reason?
Because that's when
1,000 what?
You get transported into the future.
He just said 1,000 on the dial. He didn't actually specify.
He just said over the 1,000 mark. All right, then. Mary?
Yes?
How did the doctor overcome Zaroff?
With some breath mints.
No, I don't remember.
Good. Another point for me.
Halitosis.
Anybody?
It looked like a little smoke screen.
No, how did he... what's, is that your answer?
No.
Oh, go on. Anybody?
With a fart.
Okay, another point for me. Right then, so the answer was with a gate. He trapped him with the gate. That was fairly obvious, that one. That was one of the easiest questions I've written for the whole quiz.
Ooh, why?
I have forgotten where I was.
What's going on?
Washing up.
Very petulantly.
Dishes.
Yes. Are you supposed to be doing the drying up, Robert? Is that why it's being crashed around?
Yes.
Okay, right. Who was that for?
That was for Mary.
Right, okay, then this question's for Robert. Who was Ben not worried about in the end?
Not worried about?
Hmm. In the story, he didn't appear to be particularly worried about somebody.
Polly!
Anybody else?
Scam!
Nobody else?
Zaroff.
Excellent. He wasn't particularly worried about Jamie. Right, okay, now we've got two final questions. Two jokers yet left to play.
A score update?
Pardon? And the score update? Can you allow me to finish what I'm saying? The score update is as thus. In last place, with no points, and Joker not played yet, probably just as well, Robert. In fourth place, with 5 points, still no Joker played, is Mary. I'll suggest playing those jokers, because I'm going to get the points anyway. In third place with 18 points, Kirby. In second place with 20 points, ooh, Debbie. And in the lead with 23 points, it's me.
Ooh.
Two free-for-all questions. Free-for-all question number one. Free-for-all question number one is this. What did Ben call Polly when they were reunited?
Can I take a guess?
Oh, God, yeah. I dread to think what you're going to say, but yes.
Thatcher?
Anybody else?
All I heard was crashing of dishes.
No, you didn't say that.
No, he didn't. There was
darling?
No crashing dishes. What's
it? The answer was Dozy Bird.
Dozy Bird. He was quite insulting throughout this, wasn't he?
Yes.
And the final question is this. Where did the Doctor try to take them?
I know.
Go on, Em.
Mars.
Needs guitars.
Right. I can't believe I got through that unscathed.
You better add on those
points.
Okay,
I'm going to add on points right there now. So that'll be 22.
So I didn't get any.
No, you didn't, no. Which I rather gives me your Joker points, which is
but it
good.
Was great to have you on again.
Mary's Joker points.
I'm unprepared.
Zero. And 10, 20, 29. Okay.
No, that's
in last place, with no points.
No
mind, no way. Is Robert, yes, who predicted, yay, Debbie to win. And even if Debbie had won, it still would have been zero. Twice of zero is zero. In fourth place with 5 points, and she predicted Debbie to win, so still wouldn't have gone very far, was Mary. In third place with 18 points, she predicted, he predicted Debbie to win, so no doublings there. In second place with 22 points, and she predicted Debbie to win for
the
once.
First time ever.
He still would have got it. Who would you have predicted win if he hadn't won?
You, probably.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, you say that now.
You say you 22.
It's Debbie, but the winner this week at long last is me with 29 points. I think I deserve a round of applause.
Nothing in the world will stop.
Good, we've got 15 minutes left. Left. Who are our sponsors, Mary?
Lavarzi.co.uk
is the correct answer.
I'd pause on that one. And then whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Maybe I should have had that as the first question in the quiz.
Audible.co.uk.
And she could have played a joker.
/20
I could have played a joker.
Say that again, please, because everybody was talking.
What, our sponsors?
Yes.
Go on then, Mary, try again.
Lavarzi.co.uk. And whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
I wonder when he was going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think so. And audible.co.uk/20
Latest products at whowon.co.uk are not dogs flapping their ears at very annoying moments. It's Space Museum by Glyn Jones on CD. Is that the audio?
That's the audio target reading.
300 minutes long, and it's read by Maureen O'Brien. Bless her little heart. Week? Am I not allowed to say it again just because I haven't brought any new products?
No.
Right, hang on.
Hey.
Yeah, Doctor Who magazine 496. Get it from Who Won in America or Australia or wherever. You'll get it a lot quicker than waiting for it to come into the shops. Forgotten Lives, which is a CD story, audio play, I would imagine, because it's only an hour long.
Sorry, which one?
What? Forgotten Lives.
Torchwood. I said the new one.
Yeah.
Is that Big Finish?
Yeah.
That's the start of their new series, which goes back to Victorian England, I think.
Yes. State of Decay.
I've been really enjoying those audios, so I'd recommend that.
Well, the Torchwood ones.
Yes. Yeah. I've been listening to
them. State of Decay by Terrence Dick is also available.
I've been enjoying them too, yes.
As an audio book. So that's a few
What about Coming Soon? Have they got anything?
I'm looking now. Coming Soon, Aquitaine, which is a Big Finish production of The Fifth Doctor.
Yes.
Which is written by
a Big Finish, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Barnard and Paul Morris, according to this. Churchill Years, which is a CD another Big Finish production, a CD series, and a Dalek tin plaque. Oh, and the River, sorry, the Diary of River Song on CD.
I'm waiting for mine.
We're
getting
on CD.
That's
you can download these stories from bigfinish.com. Labyrinth of Buda Castle, Fourth Doctor story.
Mm-hmm.
Memory of Winter, which is a 12th Doctor novel. It's only 17 years long.
They've been doing several of those. I think that's the fourth one so far.
Clara's still alive in that one. Don't you want to get that one? Oblivion, which is like a comic of the 8th Doctor. One Rule by Joseph Lidster, which is a Torchwood story featuring. It's, this is not the, the Captain Jack Torchwood.
Yeah,
this,
no,
is
this
the,
is, yeah,
the Torchwood Institute. And Paradox Planet, another 4th Doctor story with Romana 2 in it. So these items can be bought on CD from whowon.co.uk. Now, I hope people took advantage of the special offer that was on the. You didn't.
I had to pay for the car.
Set off them, whatever.
Yes, there was a special offer on the 20 megabyte page, especially for our listeners, of a percentage off purchase from the Lavazzi website. It was posted on the 20 megabyte page. I would advise people to join that page because it's
and
quite
useful.
And
we talked about it last week as well and told them not to do it until
yes, we did.
The actual date. Yeah.
So they probably forgot. But never mind. You can still get your stuff from Lavazzi when they get any discount at the moment, but I'm sure Melinda will issue some more discounts at a later date. And as you were saying, Debbie, if you want to get yourself a free audiobook, all you got to do is subscribe for 1 month free trial at audible.co.uk/20megabyte. You get a choice from...
Yeah, how do you spell that?
Humongous... shut up. Humongous array of titles.
A-U-D-I-B-L-E.
So you sign up for a free trial, get your free audiobook, you keep it forever, and if you don't want to keep your subscription, then you just cancel the subscription, keep the free audiobook. It's a great deal. And even if you do keep your subscription, it's still a pretty good deal.
It's a good deal.
Yeah.
They have a great deal of audio.
They do. Loads, haven't they?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe that their catalogues. It's really huge. Anyway, right.
That's what she said.
Their catalogue's huge. How do you get something rude out of their catalogue's huge? Apparently this 15% off all products has been also put on DoctorWhoNews.net, but I don't know, it does say the sale lasts from today till Friday the 21st, so it has... Sorry, Sunday.
Sunday the 21st, yeah.
So it has actually
finished.
It has actually finished. No. Don't bother trying that code now, because it's over. Peter Capaldi in the complete Shakespeare walk... Peter Capaldi is to feature in special series of films marking the 400 years since William Shakespeare's death.
Cool.
Cool indeed. Of course, there's been lots of talk about this being his last series coming up in 2017.
Yeah.
I'd like some sort of confirmation that it's not going to be his last series.
Oh, he's going to play Titus Andronicus.
Is he?
The scene specially shot in Rome. That's one of my favourites.
Lindsay Duncan's in it as well.
Yeah.
You see that one out of Emmerdale that used to be in Doctor Who? Lindsay Duncan?
I hate having Titus clothes.
Robert's back, everyone. Legacy, Husbands of Riversong, the director's cut. Tiny Rebel Press have launched the Husbands of Riversong level in the official Doctor Who Legacy game. The game is now in its third year with over 2 million installs. It's played by nearly 2 million fans.
Has anybody played those?
No.
Pardon?
No.
What do you say?
No. Has anybody played those?
No.
No.
No. Apparently, says the level is on sale this week for a special reduced price of $2.99. Competition round.
Was that $2, not pounds?
Yeah, no, $2. Yeah.
Doesn't state to whether it's US dollars or Australian dollars.
Yeah, £1.89 or something like that.
A round of a competition. Not going to do that actually about the competition, so it's irrelevant to us. That's all. Competitions run by Doctor Who News. Doctor Who series one most bought drama. We talked about that last week. So that's the end of news for this week.
Hooray! Anybody got any tidbits?
Beg your pardon? Oh, sorry.
Titbits, dear.
dear, I've got a quick stretch.
Except later on tonight for me and tomorrow morning for Robert, we're going to be recording.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Oh, dear.
Another Stories from the Vortex.
What are you discussing this week?
I've finished listening to them.
Yeah, I take it you're not going to be doing the washing up while recording that one.
We're going to be doing oldies from the main range.
Wow.
Are we talking about the Torchwood one as well? The last one?
Oh, are we?
Because I haven't listened to it
yet. Quick listen.
Yeah, it might be a good idea. Now, coming up on the 20 megabyte podcast, we have the next story, which I believe is Moonbase.
Moonbase.
Yeah. Again, it's I think it's reconstructed with
that's
animation.
A good story.
Yeah. So that's our next story. That will be recorded.
Yeah, but I have the DVD for this one.
Yeah. Oh, good. That will be recorded hopefully on Sunday, the 28th of February, at 8 p.m. GMT. So we've got a few days to watch it. But these Doctor Who stories are so enjoyable. I'm quite enjoying watching them. You know, ahead of time, so I'm not struggling with these at all. So, be certainly watching that over the next few days. I've seen it a few times, to be fair. It's going to be
on Sunday
the 28th of February, Sunday, 8 p.m.
Now. At what time?
8 bloody p.m. How many times do I have to say it?
Our time.
Great. I think it's at 8 p.m.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. He's further away than you are, and he still heard it. Right then, and to project a little bit further ahead, on the 5th of February, we were recording the 300th episode. Now, that episode will not be any about anything other than us, so it's going to be, the chances of getting to 400 episodes, it probably will happen, but the further we go, the less chance we're going to get to the next milestone, because that's going to be... Well, it's just, I can't guarantee I'll still be podcasting in 2 years' time.
I will.
Oh, shit. Anyway.
Maybe he's poised to take over.
Nothing in the world can stop her now. So on the 5th of February, it's a sitting stone time, 6 p.m. recording.
Yeah, I'll be round for supper.
And we're just going to celebrate.
March the 5th, you say?
Yes. We're going to celebrate what we've achieved over the last 6.5 years. 6 p.m.
time.
Yeah, 6 p.m.
our time. Putting it up to work.
Yeah, we established it would be quite early hours in the morning for you, Robert. Yes, it would. I'm sorry about this.
Sorry.
But I wanted to get it at a time so Debbie could come round here and Isabella could still be up. I can't guarantee it, but it might be where Alicia might be getting ready, so she might be available to Skype in from her flat, but she hasn't actually got Skype on her phone anymore, which is a bit of a problem. But just get as many. I mean, to be fair, Isabella has been on the show for longer than. Not Alicia, but she has been on longer because Alicia left. So she's and Deb as well. So it's going to be an event.
Less than a week after we do the moon base, we do this one.
Yeah, so there won't be won't be reviewing an episode during the 300th. That would be just about us, basically. So we're just going to have a little sort of reminisce.
Sunday for Robert.
Yeah. A 20 megabyte podcast. I've got clips and things like that to play from earlier episodes.
Oh, no.
So it's going to be a romp, and we're going to not going to.
Yeah, you
have
better be there, Robert. So you can defend yourself.
Yeah. I can try and get Reese involved. I know he's got a baby, so he may well be up anyway that time of the night. Andy. Well, I think it should be all right for Andy. He should be at home from work at some point during that.
Yeah.
So that's our big...
On a Saturday, he should be.
That's our big 300th birthday. Not birthday, anniversary. No, not anniversary.
Don't punch me.
It was a gentle, friendly punch. 300th
anniversary.
Episode. Shut up, 300th episode celebration, which is more than the Doctor Who podcast made.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So...
Big milestone.
But... Before that, we've got 299, which is a moon base. So until then, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for joining us, Robert.
Thank you.
But that won't happen again
for
a while. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Quiz.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
podcast is an apvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.